Welcome to the podcast of National Institute of Chemistry. You can relax and pour yourself a favorite drink from a nearby Erlenmeyer flask, Baker, cup, because the days of complex scientific reading are behind us. We are here to provide you with engaging and accessible explanations of the latest discoveries. In this episode, I'm joined by Sara Orehek from the Department of Synthetic Biology and Immunology at the National Institute of Chemistry. We will explore how inflammasomes, the key players in immune defense, are being harnessed for cancer therapy. Hi, Sara.
Hey.
Thanks so much for joining us on the podcast. Now, I would love to start by asking you, how did you first get involved in synthetic biology and what excites you about this field?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. So I first came across the field of synthetic biology at the start of my PhD journey when I joined the Department of Synthetic Biology and Immunology at the National Institute of Chemistry. So synthetic biology integrates engineering principles with biological systems, aiming to introduce new properties into those biological systems. And the whole idea behind my PhD was to apply synthetic biology tools in the field of immunology, specifically immunotherapy, to develop innovative approach for cancer treatment. I find this field particularly exciting because it extends beyond the fundamental science and has significant applied potential. So we get the inspiration from nature, from different biological systems and signaling pathways, and we can then modulate and rewire those for broader use, like for development of therapeutics or biotechnological applications. So this field not only helps us understand the complexity of biological systems, but also enable us to develop tools that address the real-world challenges.
It's really applicative field that you're working on.
Yeah,
exactly. So it's exciting work. And you published also a very nice paper about your work. And the one that we are discussing this time is titled Cytokine-Armed Pyroptosis-Induced Antitumor Immunity Against Diverse Types of Tumors. And the paper was published in prestigious journal in Nature Communications. Could you describe the research field that touches this paper?
So in this article, we are exploring the field of cancer immunotherapy, which is a rapidly advancing approach for cancer treatment where we stimulate our own immune system to fight the tumor cells. We combine the synthetic biology tools with our knowledge of immunology, specifically innate immunity, and designed a new therapeutic approach to treat cancer and also boost anti-tumor immunity. So we drew inspiration from the inflammasomes, which are multi-protein complexes that play a key role in immune defense against pathogens. Their activation leads to pyroptosis, which is a specific type of immunogenic cell death, and it also promotes the release of pro-inflammatory cytokines IL-1 beta and IL-18. And basically, this dual action of inflammasome actually prompted us to design novel therapeutic strategy that we called cytokine-armed pyroptosis. And this is basically a synthetic pyroptotic system that combines immunogenic cell death, pyroptosis, with local secretion of immunostimulatory cytokines, not only facilitating cancer cell destruction, but also enhancing immune responses against the tumor and promoting long-term anti-tumor immunity.
Oh, so I see your motivations here working in this, so killing the cancer cells in
exactly.
The new ways. What was the other motivation that you started this research? Were there some other work previously done, maybe?
So basically, when it comes to cancer treatment, we have many challenges. So first of all, we're talking about very heterogeneous group of diseases, since we know more than 200 different types of cancer that arise from different organs, tissues, and cells. And adding to this complexity, tumors have evolved diverse mechanisms to prevent their recognition by the immune cells. Specifically, hard to treat are immunologically cold tumors, which lack the presence of the immune cells in their tumor microenvironment and are poorly responsive to already established treatments. So additionally, a key immune evasion strategy of cancer cells also involves the suppression of cell death pathways. And when we profiled the three murine cancer cell lines, so B16F10, 41, and CT26, for the expression of cell death effector Gasdermin D and the components of NLRP3 inflammasome, we saw that all tested cell lines were deficient in at least one inflammasome component, indicating an inability to respond to the inflammasome activators. So this then triggered us to basically reconstruct inflammasome signaling in cancer cells. And that's how we then created the cytokine apoptosis that basically acts independently of endogenous expression of inflammasome components. And our goal, of course, was to develop a multi-component system that is capable of targeting a broad spectrum of tumors while also inducing the activation of both innate and acquired arms of the immune system so that it would be efficient even against the most resilient types of tumors.
Amazing, because the cancer is already so tricky, so difficult. It has all sorts of ways to evade
the immune surveillance, yes.
Yeah. And you had to make really good, new system to trick it. And
strategy behind it.
Yeah. So how was the overall research process?
So to induce apoptotic cell death in tumor cells, we use this protein, Gasdermin D, which binds to the negatively charged phospholipids, where it oligomerizes and then forms a pores in the plasma membrane. So firstly, we designed various Gasdermin D variants, which have different pore-forming capabilities and mechanisms of action. And we cloned this construct, prepared the plasmids encoding for these different variants, and initially tested them in vitro. So first on HEK T cells and then also on tumor cells. Our goal here was to determine whether these designed Gasdermin D variants could successfully form pores and induce the cell death. Since apoptosis is characterized by the formation of this bubble-like morphology, we also examined the cells under the microscope to confirm basically these morphological changes. Once we gathered the sufficient in vitro data, we moved to the in vivo experiments. First, we evaluated the impact of Gasdermin D-induced apoptosis on tumor growth of B16F10 melanoma tumor model. And then we combined Gasdermin D with different immunostimulatory cytokines to boost the anti-tumor effect. These cytokines work as the adjuvants, promoting inflammation and also facilitating the immune cell recruitment and maturation within the tumor microenvironment. To deliver the construct into the tumors, we used electroporation, which temporarily induces permeability of the membrane via the pulse electric fields. So we tested our approach in three distinct tumor models, in addition to B16F10, which is a known model of immunologically cold tumor. We also used the 41, a breast cancer tumor model, which is another cold tumor model, and also the CT26, so the colon carcinoma, which is a hot tumor. And basically then to gain the deeper insights into the molecular mechanisms, we also performed the RNA sequencing. We analyzed the transcriptomic changes and signaling pathways that get activated after the different treatments. We also addressed the importance of the immune system in mediating the anti-tumor response with different in vivo experiments. We performed some tumor tissue histology and also evaluated any potential systemic effects of our treatment.
Tumors, you said that they are cold and hot. What does it mean exactly?
Yeah, so basically the cold tumors, they lack immune cells in their tumor microenvironment. That's why we say that they're immune deficient. And hot tumors, they have many different more immune cells in their tumor microenvironment. And that's why they are more responsive to the immunotherapies. Because, of course, in order to stimulate the immune system, we need the immune cells there, right?
Yes.
So in terms of cold tumors, we need to first induce the infiltration of the immune cells into the tumors, and then we can stimulate the immune response against the tumor.
Mm-hmm, interesting. So many ways the tumors work.
Exactly.
And you use the cell studies in vitro, but then you also went in vivo on animal models. How does this compare? Because I know that already cell studies are very difficult, but then to work in vivo models is probably another level, and also probably some more regulatory requirements and so on.
Yes, basically working with in vivo animal models is completely different than from working with cell cultures. It is far more challenging, also more like time consuming, and also, of course, demanding on the psychological level. Researchers handling the animals must, of course, obtain specific certificate that allows them to work with the animals, and everything is really, really strictly regulated. We need approval from the National Ethics Committee, and all the studies are conducted in accordance to the EU directive and also the 3R principle, so to replace, reduce and refine the experiments, if we can, of course.
Yeah, but we have to be also aware that this kind of studies, eventually they have to be done in vivo, because
exactly,
if we want to then later make it applicable for the humans, we have to have good models to see that.
We need the preclinical data, of course, before we move to the to humans. For the phase one clinical trial, we need all of these different preclinical experiments, and for that we need the animal studies.
Yes. I also requested that you bring with you some item that you used in your research or that connects to your research, and you brought some nice toy, let's say. Please explain what it is.
Yeah, so basically this is like a pillow in a shape of a parapodotic cell that was sewed by my mentor, Dr. Iva Hafner-Bratkovic, and she gave it to me for Christmas. So we are three PhD students and one postdoc that worked together with Iva, and she made a, made each of us a pillow in a shape of basically a, or in a shape that represents a topic that we are working on. So that's why I have a parapodotic cell.
How did you use this pillow? Like when you had hard days in the lab and you hugged it. It will work. It will go.
Exactly.
I know it will go. Nice. It's very nice gesture from your mentor, supervisor.
Yeah.
And how long does it take to conduct such experiments in vitro or in vivo or all together?
So basically the whole study, from the designing and cloning the constructs to conducting all the in vivo experiment, took us approximately 5 years.
Wow.
So first of all, of course, testing everything, and then we really have to think what we will then test in animals in vivo. So yeah, altogether 5 years.
And these 5 years is probably not so easy either, because cells don't know, or animals don't know, that there is weekend and you need to take off. They just grow and they need your support, right?
Exactly. Neither the cells or the animals, they don't know when it's Monday or Sunday or any other day. So basically, yeah, we have to just go there whenever we can or we have to. So
What are some limits of your work or difficulties at your work?
So I would say that since we are developing cancer immunotherapy, we're studying the immune system, right? And we want to understand how our therapy activates the immune response. We want to know which immune cells drive the anti-tumor immunity. Do we induce systemic protective immunity, etc.? So to answer this question, we need a fully functional immune system to study. We cannot address this just by the experiments performed in vitro on the cell lines, like we just discussed. Mm-hmm. And I would say that this would probably be the biggest limitations of our work.
Yeah. And what are the main findings, some key results of the research, like we described very well how you work? Now, what are really these biggest breakthroughs?
So basically, we were able to demonstrate that the cytokine arm parapodosis induces potent and persistent anti-tumor response, leading to the survival and long-lasting remission in treated animals. Our findings showed that triggering localized short-term inflammation within the tumor microenvironment drives the anti-tumor immunity without causing this harmful systemic inflammation. We also found that selecting the right cytokine is crucial, as some molecules actually antagonize the protective effects of pyroptosis. Another key takeaway is that this treatment is tumor agnostic, meaning it works across different tumor types, regardless of their origin or immune profile. But perhaps the most important finding in that would be that the cytokine-armed pyroptosis not only targets the primary tumor, but also protects against the distant tumors. So basically, this indicates that it stimulates a systemic protective immune response, which is the ultimate goal of cancer immunotherapy.
Yeah, this is amazing. Yeah, you don't only kill the tumor cells there, but you make the body stronger for the next tumor development.
Exactly, yeah. When we re-injected the survived animals with the same tumor cells, we didn't get the tumors, so the tumors didn't grow. And yeah, that's how we basically induced the protective immunity.
Oh, very nice. And how do you see that these results will impact the field?
So basically, up until now, researchers have been exploring either immunogenic cell death or the cytokines for cancer immunotherapy, but no one had combined these two elements before. And what we developed is this combinatory therapy that is both modulatory and tunable, meaning it can be adjusted and also used alongside other immunotherapies like immune checkpoint inhibitors. Mm-hmm. And our findings confirm that taking this versatile approach, so having more irons in the fire, is more effective, especially when we are dealing with immunologically cold tumors.
Going from many ways to,
exactly,
to the same.
To fight.
Yeah. And how do you see that there will be further research progress?
So, of course, this is just one part of our work. We are also exploring other proteins and signaling pathways as well. As ways to improve our treatment and optimize the protocol. Because so far, our main focus has been understanding why some things work and why others don't, which is why we haven't yet fine-tuned the treatment timeline or also delivery method, which is basically pretty inefficient. So moving forward, we would like to optimize these aspects and also test our approach in combination with other immunotherapies like the immune checkpoint inhibitors that I mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you did great steps already, so I believe this will be a very nice further work and that you will succeed.
Thank you.
Do you have any other anecdote to share with us?
Yeah, basically. So as I mentioned, we also did the transcriptomic analysis. And for that, we have to isolate the RNA and then from the tumors and then send it for sequencing. And unlike the DNA, RNA molecule is really highly chemically unstable. It can be easily degradable. So to prevent that, we always keep it at low temperatures. So we performed the whole in vivo experiment, and then already when we were isolating the RNA from the tumors, we ran out of the reagent, and thank God that we were able to borrow it from the D11 department, and we are really thankful for them for that. We are really thankful for that. And then we prepared the samples, and we shipped it on the dry ice to keep it cool. And the company where we do the sequencing has its facilities in Germany. And that was basically in the summer of 2023, where we had devastating floodings in Slovenia, and all over was just the unusual summer weather with a lot of heavy rain and storms. And due to one of the storm, our samples didn't arrive to the Germany at the scheduled time. And basically, the whole samples were at room temperature for more than one night. We were so nervous because, of course, we have just like this one sample and, you know.
Yeah, you difficult have to get.
Exactly. It's very difficult to get. So then when you have it, you have to, you know, work really cautiously with it. Mm. And yeah, so I was just praying that we have enough of dry ice in the box and that our samples will be fine. And so basically when I received that, the email that they got the samples and that they performed the quality control of the samples and it was fine. I was just like so relieved that everything went okay. So basically, of course, in the end, everything turns out okay,
yeah.
But it can be very stressful in the meantime.
It can be very stressful because in the worst scenario, you have to repeat months of your work.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. And you also don't want to do that in terms of, you know, getting more of the animals and stuff. And
absolutely.
So that's why it's really, you know,
bad luck.
Exactly.
But good luck in bad luck.
Exactly.
Yeah. So thank you for being the guest in this episode. I wish you more of good luck than bad luck in your further research.
Thank you so much.
The guest of this episode of the Papers Illuminated Člankarnica podcast was Sara Orehek. We encourage you to tune in again next month as we explore fresh insights from a new paper.